Years ago, I got on the natural healing bandwagon and threw my hat in that particular ring. It was something exciting. It was something that I felt passion about literally from childhood, and perhaps partly because of my own needs growing up, where my body had problems, didn't work right, and I sensed that there'd be a need there. As I've grown into that, I've made an entire life out of every aspect of that, including not just diet, herbs, exercise, things like that, but I've reached out into Qigong and energy healing. I've reached out into meditation. I've reached out into building within myself aspects that would return health into my body. And it's been an ongoing journey, and I've hit some bumps along the road that have made me really have to struggle, which have made me a lot better at any hands-on healing I do. And that's another aspect. I became consumed with becoming expert in functional healing, where I help the body to have better tone, to have better flow. I can work on a person, get any organ working, any organ, anytime, any person. I can get it working. If I keep working on them, I'll get it to where it functions well. That's been something that I have just allowed myself to be consumed with. Not just that, but also our living conditions. Things we can do to make an environment in our home that is healing. Most homes, you might be surprised to discover, actually make you sicker. But I have been making this my life's work to solve those problems. Some of those things I can adapt my home to. Other things, in order to really have them at their optimum, you would have to build your own home. And that's something I'm working on making more available, both to myself and everyone else. And so when I threw my hat into that ring, I threw it in 100%. I really gave it everything that I am and have. Lately, I've become convinced that I needed to throw my hat into a different ring. Not that there was anything wrong with what I was doing before. It didn't need to change. It didn't need to be replaced. The problem is that at the forefront of healing today, healing our world socially, emotionally, healing our world relative to health and wisdom and managing the resources we have in a better way, I have come to realize that the new place I need to put my emphasis is on healing the brain. Now, obviously, part of that is the same thing I've been doing, healing the body. The brain is a part of the body. It is a regulating component of the body. It is not the only regulating component, but it is one. And that's very, obviously, very integrated. But there is also something else. And that something else is taking my perspective, my approach to healing, and making it a brain focus. Realizing that I myself have old brain injuries helped motivate me. But also realizing that perhaps the limitation that I keep running into with my patients, with the world, socially, emotionally, everybody, everywhere, everything they're dealing with, can be traced to that particular system melting down more than any other. The brain is under extreme assault today. And so we need to take an approach to directly affect that in a much more positive way than we have been heretofore. So I'm going to combine both a rule of keeping your brain healthy forever, along with an educational strategy, and we're going to call it the three a day. And here's what it is: it's three new things to learn each day. Or if it's something you already know, many of you will know these things already. It's going to be something that will be a reminder. It will help you refocus on things that are important that maybe you already know, but you've lost your focus on them. So this is the very first lesson. Beyond this, they are not necessarily in any particular order. The goal, again, being to give you a large collection of little short broadcasts you can listen to and learn yourself one thing a day, three things a day, something you can apply every day that's going to make your brain healthier, that's going to make your life healthier, that's going to make your brain work better, because I'm going to include in here tools you can use to make your brain just work better, be smarter, do things people have troubles with. So today we're going to start with the first lesson, which is the lesson I've been talking about. Learn something new every single day, always, forever, no matter what. And this can be paired with the second thing, which is get your device away from you. Get it away from you and every screen of every kind 2 hours before you go to bed. Now, you can push that back to an hour, but you better not go inside that, and you really should be at the two-hour mark. Nobody knows how long it really takes for your brain to calm down after being exposed to your device or to any kind of modern screen. We have no idea, but we know it takes some time for your brain to return to normal, for your brain to link back in to the circadian rhythms. Now, that word circadian means it has to do with the cycle of the sun. In other words, the sun comes up. As far as us, as far as we're concerned on the Earth, I realize the sun is relatively fixed and the Earth is the one that's turning around, at least in relative terms. But to us on the Earth, the sun comes up, it positions itself in different places through the sky, and then it goes around the backside of the Earth. Backside meaning not our side. So that is the demarcation for a circadian rhythm. It's the position of the sun in the sky. So when you stop watching a screen, your brain starts to de-stress. It's very stressful for your brain to watch a screen. Just listening to this recording, even if you're not watching it, and it's that close to you, and it's all this electronic bites of information, that's very stressful for your brain. So put all that away from bedtime. Make sure your sleep is sacred. So you're going to get all the screens out of your room. You're going to get your phone out of your room. You're going to get at least 20 linear feet away from where you sleep. You're going to keep all screens, devices, cell phones, all of that out there. And you're going to put that down, turn it off, don't listen to it at all. Unless you have a potential emergency coming in where you have to turn it on where you can hear it, it's best to just turn it off so you don't have to take anybody's message. And make that 2 hours before bedtime sacred time. Now, along with setting things up to be able to go to bed and sleep like you should, you're going to need to make sure you can follow the circadian rhythm. Now, ideally, you would have very limited light coming in your window, no artificial light coming in your window at night. So that if you live in a city, that's going to require that you put some blackout type shades on your windows, that it's absolutely blanked out, blacked out. You can't see anything coming through those windows. Now, of course, ideally for the circadian rhythm to work like it should, as the sun starts to come up, that light is going to come through your windows. So that's a real challenge in the modern world. If you live in a city, if you live in a concrete jungle, you're going to have a little bit of trouble with that part. But if you have to pick one of the two, the most important thing is getting that artificial light closed down completely when it's time to go to bed. So we're going to just add one more thing onto the circadian rhythm discussion, and that is, when is the best time for you to get up and exercise? So when the sun starts to come up, your energy actually kind of follows that. Now, this is a lost discussion. I don't see this being discussed very often in the natural healing world, and yet it's the fundamental discussion, right? It's creating a foundation for us to build health upon. And you following the circadian rhythm really is the foundation you're going to build your health on. So this is so important. We should be thinking about, when is the appropriate time to do what? Now, I realize you may be in a profession where you have to work at night. I get that. And there are things you can do to manage that, even though that will never be ideal. There are things you can do to manage that situation. So, and we'll talk about that in later discussions. But for right now, in the ideal world, you're going to get up sometime Between 4 and 8 in the morning. You need to be up during that time. Now, we know that the ideal circadian sleep cycle goes from 11 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, obviously, if you're at one end of a time zone and the other end of the time zone, it's going to be a little different. Things are not, it doesn't, our clock isn't like the old Jewish clock. The old Jewish clock used to divide the day into 12 equal divisions. So you really did, you sliced the sky based on the path of the sun into 12 equal divisions. And those were considered the hours of the day, right? So we don't do that today, right? We have a clock that is based on creating, you know, an absolute division of every day into equal chunks of 24 hours. And the truth is that's not really how our bodies work. Our bodies work like the old Jewish clock, which is every slice is, you divide the day up into those 12 slices, and those will give you your hours. So when you start taking our modern clock and trying to follow that for a circadian rhythm, of course, that creates some challenges, right? So I'm giving you this, and you need to understand that what we really should be using is that old Jewish clock, but our work day probably doesn't begin that way, not in the modern world. So you have to come up with something that is an attempt to follow that circadian rhythm, even though you know maybe it's not going to be perfect. Okay, but ideally, as that sun starts to first crack the sky, which in the dead of summer, if you live where I live, which is in Wyoming in the United States, which is pretty far north, if you live where I live, that actually starts to happen at about 4:30 in the morning in the middle of the summer, okay? But as soon as that sun starts to crack the sky, that's going to switch you. Your nervous system is actually going to shift into a sympathetic dominant mode where different activities than were taking place at night are starting to take place in your body. And by about 6 o'clock in the morning, that's going to wake you up. Now, that gives us our kind of basis of circadian rhythm. So about 6 o'clock in the morning, you should start waking up because for 2 hours now, your nervous system has been getting ready to wake up. Okay? So if you were to have the perfect life, you would basically sleep where the sun can affect you early in the day, you know, when it starts to come up. And then you would naturally go into that mode where about 2 out of 12 divisions, or about 1/6 of the way through daylight hours, you would awaken. So I don't know how that would work in the modern world, but I want to give you an idea of how it's supposed to work, and then you can do the best you can with your modern clock, okay? In any event, about an hour after you wake up is the very best time to exercise, to go get cardiovascular exercise, to work your body, to get everything moving. That will set you up for a healthier circadian rhythm that day, just like going to bed and sleeping with darked out windows, or if you live where there's no artificial light, you know, that would be the awesomest. You literally have no artificial light coming in your window. And that's the perfect scenario. Those things set you up to be in harmony with the circadian rhythm, which then forms the foundation of a healthy life. Okay, I've given you two things. Learn something new every day. I've told you about the circadian rhythm. Now let's give you number three. Now, number three in every recording is going to be maybe just a little bit controversial for some people, because I'm going to give you some things that I think are about building character. I think one of the things we need to do more, and it's being weeded out of our society, and I believe in my heart of hearts that weeding that out of our society is going to do a lot of harm. And there may be some good because it's been used as leverage between people and that kind of thing. And obviously that's not a good thing when we leverage ourselves against each other. But I think that it's going to do so much more harm than good to weed this out of our society that we really need to start talking about it. And if you're scared to talk about it socially, okay, just have a conversation with yourself about it, right? And you don't have to believe exactly what I believe. What my beliefs obviously are going to come through this recording. There, it's who I am. You certainly don't need to believe that, but the principle behind it, I'm going to teach you, are things that will absolutely help you, okay? So the principle behind this third point is building character. I'm going to try to focus on building character every time, and the third time is, here's where I want you to start. We're going to begin by saying whatever you know to be true or know to be right or believe to be right. Maybe it's just a belief system that's rooted in you. You wish you didn't believe that maybe sometimes. Maybe you're fine with it. Maybe you're completely at peace with it. But regardless of where it came from or whether it was your idea or anything like that, things you believe to be right, you need to live by to the best of your ability. So the idea here is that you are a moral person. So moral is your idea of right and wrong. Now, some of you may not know the difference between moral and ethical. Moral is your belief about what is right and wrong, absolutely, okay? Ethical has to do with the laws of the land, with social norms, with things that are accepted in society. Ethics have everything to do with laws and society and standards. You know, it's ethical to be respectful of another person's rules when you stay in another person's home. That's ethical. It's ethical to keep the speed limit, to don't break the law, to be honest with your taxes, to be honest in business dealings, all of those things. Those are ethics. Okay. Morals and ethics can overlap, such as that word honesty, right? Where we may say, this is something that is both moral and ethical. But our morals may not match ethics necessarily. For example, when I'm driving through an empty road in Wyoming, and I do this every week, there's a huge stretch of flat, straight, empty road. In my opinion, there should not be a daytime speed limit on that road. My morals say there is no reason for me to obey the law here. Okay? I think the law is silly there. The law does not match my morals. But I do have some morals that say I should also try to obey the law. So I have morals that say I should be ethical. And so I obey the law or close to it. I live within what's called the tolerances of the law, which I may not be living the law exactly, but if at least in Wyoming, if you're, you know, 5 or 8 miles an hour over the speed limit, probably no cop is going to stop you. And the ticket, if they did stop you, isn't that big. So I consider that to be within the tolerances of the law. And that's what I do. Now, again, this is all very personal. But the important thing, the most important thing, is that you learn and understand and accept. Don't resist. Never resist. Be very, very careful about anything that comes out of you that is resistance, okay? You accept and embrace, these are my beliefs about right and wrong, and I'm going to live as close to it as I can. Now, if you happen to come from a background like I do, where we believe in a Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. I believe in completely the Lord Jesus Christ. I happen to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that's my religious structure that I operate in, which helps me. It helps me stay focused. It helps me help others who have similar beliefs. Okay. But because I'm a Christian, I believe if I fail because of my weakness, not because I didn't try, but because of my weakness, that's going to be forgiven. So I don't sit around and beat myself up based on my weaknesses. What I'm interested in is making an honest commitment, an honest effort all of the time to be as moral as I know how to be. In other words, to follow what I believe to be right as closely as I know how to. And that obviously is very complex because I don't want to force that on my fellow man. I don't want to injure them in any way. I don't want to injure you in any way by me telling you what I believe. but I also want to live by what I believe. And so that's the message here. Number three, if you want to be healthy, you want to have a healthy brain, you want to have a healthy life, there are many things involved in that. One of them is you need to be the big C word, congruent. The big C word, congruent. You need to actually match what you believe in your efforts. Now, if you're upset and you're angry at the world and you've decided to rebel against, that's a very unhealthy place to be. Likewise, if your only method of following what you believe is full of resistance and anger and control, maybe that's what you were exposed to growing up. I was exposed to some of that growing up. And God forgive me, I have exposed some of my children to that growing up, right? And I've really worked on that, gotten a lot better at it. But sometimes that's kind of a human reaction from an darkened age, an age we literally call the Dark Ages. It was a time of lots of control and manipulation. And sometimes we find remnants of that in ourselves. But I don't want to do that. But I do want to live by what I believe. I just want to do it without a lot of resistance, without a lot of stress around it. Just making a genuine commitment within myself. I know resistance creates disease. So I don't want to do that. I also know that I have some weaknesses in me. I'm just going to have to live with until one day maybe I have the strength to overcome it. Okay, there are things I believe I should do better, but I'm not doing too well with. Okay, so that is lesson number three for today. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to talking to you next time for your next three a day.